We're going to do things a little differently this morning. The reading is Psalm 23, and it's such a familiar psalm, and we love it. So I thought I would like you to please imagine that Jesus is the shepherd, and you're one of the flock. Could be a sheep who's followed Jesus a long time, or a lamb who's just begun to follow the Lord. So let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet, still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Are you going to be my lovely assistant? Thank you. Oh, thank you so much, Bev. Thank you for blessing us with such a meaningful way to bring scripture alive in our hearts. For those I haven't met, I'm Kathy. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's so good to have each and every one of you here. What if there was a place where you felt complete peace? A place where striving and anxiety or hurry found stillness. A place where you can just exhale and be centered with a peace that wells up to joy. What if there was a place where you were understood and accepted and loved for who you are? A place where you could let your guard down because you know that no matter what, you belong unconditionally. What if there was a place where racing thoughts and distraction and worry go quiet? And where you were able to just delight fully in the moment that you found yourself in? Well, I have good news. Such a place does exist. And it's with Jesus at the table. You are invited to this place. And as Steve said, across the course of the year, we're going to unpack this invitation to the table. But let's begin just with a bit of an overview of Scripture. Would you join me as we do a little bit of a walk through the Bible? And this is very high level. But throughout the Bible, the table is both a literal and it's also a metaphorical place where all of those things that we just imagined can be experienced. In the Old Testament, every 7 days, every single week, God called his people to rest and gather around tables with family and friends as they remembered and they delighted in the things that God had done. The rhythm of work all week, but then rest once a week, gave them opportunity to enjoy God and to enjoy one another. when God wanted his people to celebrate what he had done. He gathered them around tables. The Jewish calendar year was brimming with festivals. And these were joy-filled festivals, very much centered on feasting around literal tables. But this invitation to the table in the Old Testament wasn't always with family and friends. Sometimes it was a place of intimacy with God. And so in Psalm 23 that Bev just read, the psalm writer says, David says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." God invites us to his table where we experience the good things that he has for us. It's a place where we know his presence, where our spirit, our inner being, is refreshed and made strong. And so in Isaiah 55, the Lord issues the invitation, "Is anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food." And it's not speaking about physical food, but rather the spiritual nourishment and satisfaction that comes when we draw near to God. We see this same invitation to the table in the New Testament. When the Gospel of John paints a vision of Jesus in the kingdom, the imagery of the table is woven all the way through the Gospel of John. And so in chapter 1, we're introduced to Jesus as the Word who becomes flesh. And it's the same flesh that Jesus later explained was his body that would be broken as he breaks bread at the table and offers it to his disciples. In chapter 2, Jesus turns water into wine at another table, beginning to reveal who he is. In chapter 4, Jesus turns the well into a table as he gives living water to a Samaritan woman. In chapter 6, he turns a hillside gathering, into a banquet where he feeds 5,000 people and he introduces himself as the bread of life. In chapter 7, whilst at the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus invites us to come to him and drink. And then, of course, in John 13, we find ourselves gathered around the table with Jesus and the disciples as Jesus shares one last meal with them, and he breaks bread and gives them the cup, signifying all that was to come in his crucifixion the following day. And we're going to unpack the richness of that table in the weeks to come. But just to say, throughout all four Gospels, Jesus consistently gathers round tables, forms tables out of all sorts of situations, and he reveals who he is at the table. And he invites us again and again to discover and to experience that the table is both a place to meet with him and also to feast on him. This theme of the table is sprinkled right through Scripture. And so even right in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." You know, there's something very unique that happens at the table. And so in 2024, we do want to invite you to take up this invitation to explore with us this metaphor of the table in Scripture, and to take up Jesus' invitation particularly to come to the table. What if there was a place where you could experience complete peace? A place where striving, anxiety, or hurry found stillness. A place where you can exhale and be with a peace that wells up to joy. What if there was a place where you understood and accepted and loved for who you are? A place where you could let your guard down because you know that you fully belong there. A place that strengthens your inner being. Such a place does exist. It's with Jesus at the table. And so what is this invitation to the table in 2024? Well, firstly, it's an invitation to come to the table with Jesus, a place of intimacy and stillness where you are fully known and fully accepted, a place of refreshing where, that we can keep coming back to because he quietens our anxious souls and he strengthens us with his word. Secondly, it's an invitation to be at the table, not just with Jesus, but also with one another. We're going to explore more of what that could look like in term two. At the table with one another is where we learn authenticity, where meaningful connection happens, a place where we find our belonging in the family of God, where the one another's that we read of in the New Testament find expression. And thirdly, in term three, we're going to explore the table as a place where all belong. So not just brothers and sisters in Christ around this table, but those who, you know, all that Jesus welcomed, who didn't yet know him, those who were far from him, the sinners and the tax collectors in Jesus' day, the broken and the vulnerable. The table is the place where all belong. At PBC, as you know, our desire is that we each continue to grow into the fullness of what it means for us to be a disciple of Jesus. And we understand that the blueprint of that in Scripture is that we grow in three directions: up in our relationship with God, in relationship with one another, and out as we reach out to those who don't yet know Jesus. By taking up the invitation to the table this year, our prayer is that we each might grow in each of these three directions. At the table with Jesus is where we will grow with God. At the table with one another is where we will grow together relationally in the church and find a place of genuine belonging. At the table where all belong will encourage us to grow in our missional practices, where those outside of Christ find a place of belonging where they are able to explore who Jesus is. And so this table series will have teaching from the Bible on Sundays. It'll be complemented with some practical exercises that we do during the service or during our times together. But then there will also be some practical resources that you can engage with at home. So today you'll have received a personal invitation to come to the table with Jesus. You might want to grab that little invitation that you were given on the way in. If you haven't opened that, that was just a spoiler. And so on this invitation is a breath prayer. Some of the worship team, Pip, you might want to grab a few for the worship team. Good on you. The benefits of coming at 7:30, right? On this invitation is a breath prayer, and there's also a QR code there that links through to some resources that might assist you in your times at home at the table with Jesus yourself. And we encourage you to keep this little invitation today somewhere accessible. Just want to encourage you to keep that in your Bible if you read from a physical Bible, or somewhere where you spend time with the Lord, or somewhere where it's just going to pop up in your sight of vision, just to keep reminding you that Jesus' invitation is to come to the table. So that's the overview of where we are heading across the year. But for now, let's come back to that initial invitation to the table as a place of intimacy and stillness with Jesus. Your table with Jesus might be a literal place, so it might be like, you know, your coffee table. It could be your outdoor table. It could be a table in a cafe. You know, like it could be a literal table, but it may just be a place regularly that you are able to go to that has a sense of quietness about it, that has a sense of familiarity about it, where you are able to meet with the Lord. As much as you are able in that place, switch off other noise and create a window of time without interruption. If this is new for you, just spending time with the Lord is something that you haven't been doing, just start with a length of time that is realistic for you, given your starting point. Might be 5 minutes a day, 5 or 10 minutes. Choose a time of the day that works best for you. You know the rhythm of your day, when the crazy times are, when the quieter times happen. Choose the time that works best. Start by centering your thoughts on the Lord. You might use the breath prayer that's there on your invitation. But just remember who Jesus is and what he has done. Just slow down all the things that might be running through your head just to center on Jesus. Bring yourself before him in whatever state you're in. Richard Foster talks about simple prayers. And by simple prayer, he's talking about just bringing our real self to him. So whether our real self in that moment is distracted or is weary or is in need of forgiveness or is filled with joy and brimming with excitement, whatever your real self is, just bring that to him. And then read, and as you bring your real self to him, listen for God's heart for you. And then read a section of scripture and reflect on it. I know that some of you will be thinking, oh, there's so much more that we can do in our times with God, and that's completely true. But this is for those who are starting out. If spending regular time with Jesus is something that's new for you, or if it's a practice that you're needing to re-engage because it has slipped out off your, you know, things that you do, then just start simple. Start here. For those who already have regular times with the Lord, I want to champion you and just say that's awesome. Can I encourage you to explore ways to make those times even more meaningful this year? It might be trying some new spiritual formation practices. You know, we can get into a bit of a rut with the ways that we do things. But, you know, it might just be picking up a new spiritual formation practice in prayer or in listening or in different ways of engaging with the Word. But as we foster ever-deepening relationship with God, there will always be new places of depth to discover in Him. It's never about that we've just got it kind of nailed, we've just got our practices in place and that's it. There are new places of delight, new places of stillness, new places of depth, joy that we get to experience continually. So if you have a regular practice of spending time with God, that's awesome. Just drop some fresh things into that space to bring new life into it. Well, can I get really practical about this invitation to spend time with Jesus at the table? I wonder if for many of us in our fast-paced, tech-saturated lives, taking up this invitation may be a challenge for us for two reasons: busyness and distraction. As I was sitting with the Lord and praying into this message, I felt that the Lord gave me an image of an exercise treadmill. So many of us have probably been on a treadmill at some point, yeah? And so you climb on and you start out at a slow pace, but as you keep hitting the increase button, the treadmill keeps getting faster and faster until you're really struggling to keep up. But you have to keep up, because if you don't keep up with the treadmill, what happens? You get shot off the back. So I found some fantastic YouTube clips, but I'm not going to show them. It's just like delighting in other people's... They're fun, though. They're really fun. But I feel that the Lord is saying that some of us may feel like we're on a treadmill where the speed just keeps getting faster and faster and faster. And all of the promises perhaps that we made to ourselves in COVID lockdowns, that we weren't going to resume that frantic pre-COVID pace that we led, that we were going to do things far, far more wisely coming out of COVID, that for some of us, all of that has just fallen by the wayside. And we find ourselves running faster and faster. And so for some of us, this invitation to stillness and rest at the table with Jesus might sound really nice, but it actually feels out of reach, unrealistic for our lives. And if that's you, if you find yourself running at a pace that is exhausting, I don't want you to receive this invitation from Jesus to the table as another thing to add into an already overloaded schedule. For any of us who are struggling with the pace of life, and to be completely honest, like I really want to be transparent in this, that is Steve and I right now. Our starting point needs to be a critical reevaluation of the things that are contributing to that pace. We may need to make some changes to the things that we are prioritizing. We may need to say no to some things. And we definitely need to explore and to reclaim spiritual practices that help us foster more sustainable rhythms in our lives. You know, we can work hard, and I think God intends us to work hard, but we also need time at the table with God. That was the rhythm that he built in that 7-day kind of rhythm that we just looked at in the Old Testament. That's the Sabbath rhythm. On your personal invitation to the table, one of the things that the QR code links you through to, is a 10-session podcast called Fight, Hustle, End Hurry. And some of us may have already listened to this podcast. And if you have, I'd actually like to encourage you to even re-listen. And to do so with a journal and actually just note down like some of the things, if you haven't done this already, like just some of the ways that we might go, actually, this is how I might actually reclaim a more sustainable pace. These are some of the spiritual practices that might be really helpful. This is about being able to reflect on things that will help us hit pause on the treadmill, or slow down the treadmill enough for the pace to feel sustainable. It's about choosing practices that help us reclaim life-giving rhythms that Jesus always intended for us. And if you're able to, if you do take up that place of listening to that podcast, talk about the things. You know, there's 10 sessions, they're just 20 minutes, but just talk about them with someone else in your household, if that's your spouse or whatever. But what are the things that you can do? Because it's so much better when you lean in together and try and do this together. The QR code on your invite also links you through to an invitation page on Sabbath and some ideas for how you might practice a period of time each week where you might just set aside in order to rest and refresh and have quality time with God and with friends. Sabbath is the time where our tanks get refilled. And if we don't take the time to refill, our tanks just get emptier and emptier and emptier, and we keep running harder and harder and harder. And burnout has become a very, very common word in our culture. I mentioned that Steve and I have found ourselves running faster and faster on life's treadmill these past 6 months or more. And, you know, I want to say with Sabbath, although we have practiced Sabbath for many years now, taking a full 24 hours off, what we've realized recently is that some things have snuck into our Sabbath practices that haven't been helpful. And so we've had to just do a little bit of a reevaluation of Sabbath and how we practice it, and just kind of look at the ways that we're using our phone, the ways that our phones have a way of drawing us back into the stresses that we carry through the week. And so being able to lay them aside on Sabbath. The way that we enter into a Sabbath, because sometimes for us, you know, when you come racing off a treadmill and then you just suddenly hit stop, you're still kind of, you know. But actually slowing ourselves down, choosing very intentionally as we enter into Sabbath to lay down the week with God. We do this together, to lay it down. We've only just started. Lay it down with God, to name what the week has held, to give those things to God, and then to enter in with joy into what we're about to experience in that 24-hour period. We're also making some choices about things that we do in Sabbath that do fill our tank, and things that we don't do on Sabbath as well. You know, even our personal to-do lists, and this isn't like anything to do with work life. This is just about keeping a household going, because you know all about that, right? But even those things can mean that, you know, there's just a sense of drivenness that we carry into those times. And so we're not doing it perfectly at the moment, but we're trying to reclaim Sabbath. And I just want to encourage any of us who need to. Sabbath is God's heart for us, that we would have a sustainable rhythm. And if you in the past have experimented with that, or perhaps had that, or perhaps need to renew that, I just want to champion that with you and journey that with you as well, because we're very much in that space. Well, I mentioned there's two reasons why taking up Jesus' invitation to spend time at the table might be challenging. The first is busyness. The second can be distraction. You know, we have shorter attention spans now than at any point in history. Thanks to our tech-saturated, media-saturated world, we have more things vying for our attention all of the time. We have more games, more toys, more things to keep us amused and entertained. We have greater connectivity to people all of the time. We have ever-increasing demands in our workplaces. And if you have kids, well, I'm not going to say any more about that. You know all about it. But our brains have been rewired with shorter attention spans. And so this invitation to be fully attentive and to be fully present with Jesus at the table can be a genuine challenge, because although we might carve out time when we get there, we might just find that our heads are still racing with a whole bunch of things that are going on in our world. And so our prayer life might go something like, "Dear God, I wonder what there is to eat in the fridge." No, sorry. "Dear God, I pray for Steve. I wonder what Steve's up to. I wonder when we're going out. No. Lord, help me not to be distracted. Maybe I should just put on a load of washing while I'm praying, because that would make good use." You know it, right? Like, you do this as well. Maybe not those things, but you do. There is an aspect, I think, of us all probably needing to retrain our brains. And so on your invitation there is a breath prayer, as I mentioned, and it's just got a phrase from Psalm 34. And it's just intended to be a breathe in, taste and see, breathe out that the Lord is good. And you can use any verse to do this. But as we pray in this way, like it might feel a little repetitive, but the idea is that we're just slowing ourselves down in a moment. We're just kind of reclaiming, retraining our brains to focus, creating new neural pathways for stillness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good, rather than go to my phone and check what next message I've got. I've been memorizing Psalm 143 recently, and this has been helping my distracted thoughts, particularly in the middle of the night. I don't know if any of you ever wake up in the middle of the night and find that, oh my goodness, you have a barrage of things that you actually need to think about and process and organize and all sorts of things. And so I've just been memorizing Psalm 143, and in those waking hours, actually coming back just to stilling my brain, to reciting the verses that I've been learning. I love the verses. It goes like this. It says, "Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on a firm footing." Lovely, lovely prayer just to pray through in the crazy thoughts of the night. Spiritual disciplines are practices that help us be more fully present with Jesus at the table. So if you find that you are distracted, then find a practice to combat distraction. And I really want to encourage you to use it for a period of time, whether it be a breath prayer, whether it be memorizing scripture as Bev did this morning, or using something else on your QR code there, or something that comes out of the Fight, Hustle, End, Hurry podcast. And you don't have to do them all, and that's certainly not what I'm saying, but just find one practice that you engage with and then continue to do for a period of time. And I say a period of time, like at least a couple of months, because it takes time to form new neural pathways in our brain, right? We don't just kind of retrain our brains in a week, or if you give something a go for a week and go, oh, you know what, that just doesn't work for me. It's because we are needing to rewire some of the habits that are very deeply ingrained for us. So will you say yes to your invitation from Jesus to come to the table this year? Just starting with the invitation to be at the table with him. A place of intimacy, rest, and refreshing, where your heart will increasingly well up with affection for him. My prayer is that we might each take up his invitation to us, and that we will find new depths of love in Christ and new genuine places of belonging in him and also with one another. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I want to thank you for your invitation to come to you. And just in the quietness now, just want to invite you to come into the Lord's presence for yourself. He is here. He is eager for you to come. There might be an image that comes to mind where you're able to see yourself in his presence. Or you might feel something of who he is. His love toward you. His kindness and gentleness reaching out to you. His peace enveloping you. Or you might hear him speak something to you. Maybe a promise from scripture or just a word. Just take some time to be quiet in God's presence. Lord, you love us more than we can comprehend. You long for us more than we realize. Oh Lord, I pray that we would come to the place of stillness with you often. Lord, thank you for your offer of rest and peace and renewed strength in you. Lord God, I pray for those of us who need it. Give us wisdom in the things that we prioritize. And Lord, that the things that we leave out won't be the very thing that you know will bring most rest, most peace, most refreshing, and that is in you. And Lord God, I want to pray that you would help us to be determined to keep coming to the table with you this year, Lord. And would you help us, would you teach us to be at the table, wholly present, wholly available, real, authentically with you, Lord God. Oh Lord, that we might know more of you and that we might make ourselves more fully available to you. Amen.